It's time for Your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Well, like all of us who's watched the Jamal Murray game winner several times, maybe some of you dozens of times, it never gets old. Michael Malone, how many times have you watched it?
I go through the film probably like five times, and then every time I watch it, I get just as excited. And not just in the shot, but the reaction. Like, I'm looking at David Adelman jumping in the air, Dan Shimensky running around like he's a two-year-old. The bench reaction, the fans. Fans behind the bench aren't even watching the game. They're watching it on the Jumbotron, which is so weird to me. It's happening right in front of you, and they're like this.
It's a good point, Coach. How would you be watching it on the Jumbotron? What did you see? What did you watch on that shot? What was your, like, where were your eyes drawn to? Well, first of all, I knew he was going to make it.
Okay.
Because there was such an air of an inevitability as they started that comeback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, they're going to finish it off here. And so I knew they were going to score. It was fate, okay?
Oh, yeah.
It was just a matter of what it would look like. But, as soon as I saw him, you know, I'm watching the clock, and as soon as I see him make his move, I'm like, oh, I know what he's going to do. Because we see that shot from him a lot, like around the elbow.
Yeah.
You know, he loves that little, you know, fadeaway type mm-hmm. thing. He's really good at it. So, yeah, I know.
But what were you, like, Michael Malone said, you know, you see so-and-so's reaction. You see the bench. What did you, like, what were you looking at? I have a very specific thing that I looked at.
Because I guess I'm, what are you looking at?
Anthony Davis's face when he fell back into the bench.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, you have got to be blanking me.
And the fact that.
It was beautiful because he was so, like, are you.
Yeah, and he stood out so much, too, because, please, you know, he's in his Laker yellow there, right?
His face was just like, he was completely perplexed, and you got to be S&M.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are you serious? It was beautiful. Like, it embodied the Lakers. That look embodied what the Lakers had just been
through. It's funny you say that it was Anthony Davis. For me, it was just the immediate pig pile on top of Jamal. I think it was so fitting that it happened
right
in front of the bench like that, and he lands amongst his teammates, among his brothers, among his family,
right,
and they all mob him. I think it was like the perfect perfect snapshot of who this team is.
We need a psychologist on the program, because what does it say about me
that
I just took great delight in his misery.
Well, it's what you always say, that you are a gracious loser and a sore winner.
Yeah.
And I think that just speaks to it right there.
Right. I just took great pleasure in his just in absolute his misery.
That's, hey, you're consistent.
Yeah.
I give you credit for that. You're very consistent. Next on the Morning Brew. The Pit of Despair. Tonight, it is draft night. The Broncos picking number 12. We're asking for Broncos fans, what would make an ideal night? What would be an ideal night for you? What would be a successful night in your opinion?
Successful night for me would be for the Broncos to trade out of 12 down to, say, 20 with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a really good football player, be it an edge guy or a offensive lineman, and then pick up a quarterback or other player in the second round.
But take a player.
Take a football player.
Okay.
But you asked me what the ideal, if they have that's to stay
your,
at 12.
No, but that's your, no. What is your ideal night?
That would be my ideal night.
My ideal night would be to trade back, accumulate more draft capital, and Sean identify a quarterback that he can get by still trading back. That's my hope. That would be a successful night.
He trades back to 20, and Bo Nix is still sitting there.
I want there to be a quarterback in this draft that Sean loves. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And the belief I have in Sean Payton is that he's not going to reach. that if they pick a quarterback, you are getting the ironclad 100% Sean Payton seal of approval.
What if they pick him in the second round?
Fine. Same thing. Fine.
Dude, that would make you a khaki pants guy.
Spencer Rattler. Second round.
I heard Cecil on yesterday. He hates Spencer Rattler.
He hates Spencer Rattler? Wow.
Just on name value alone, I think he's going to be decent.
Exactly. Somebody called me out, says it's not a pig pile, it's a dog pile.
No, I've heard both.
I've heard both.
Pig pile?
Pig pile, dog pile? What?
Yeah, I've heard both.
Rogue, Fever, you got a take on this? Was that a pig pile or a dog pile?
I think it's a dog pile.
Dog pile? Okay. I mean, I can go with either one.
And dog, what? I mean, when it's a big bunch of hog maulers, you know, when it's a bunch of offensive linemen in a big mosh pit, that's a pig pile. But they are kind of lean NBA guys.
All right, pig pile, dog pile, whatever.
Whatever.
Or whatever one.
Tomato looks like pickup sticks.
Tomato, tomato.
Remember that game, pickup sticks?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like, because they're all just very slender.
Next on the Morning Brew, garbage. NBA playoffs last night, Oklahoma City. I was very curious to see how Oklahoma City, a young team that I think is still a year away, how they handled the pressure of being a front runner in their playoff series as the number one seed. Looked tight in their first game against New Orleans. I was curious to see how they came out. The fact that they blew out New Orleans in game two shows me that, hey, this is an Oklahoma City team that's starting to get a little comfortable. A little comfortable with the idea, okay, we're here. We can do this.
Well, it is New Orleans.
I get it, but they barely got past New Orleans in game one, and then they smacked them around by 30.
So you getting nervous?
No,
you
want to
change?
Not yet.
All right.
Not yet. But meanwhile, the Celtics. Do you see the Celtics?
Yes.
14.5 point favorite. They get beat by the G League Heat.
I know. Amazing. A bunch of the guys that didn't. Like Jimmy Butler didn't play, right?
No.
Yeah, they had a bunch of guys. And they had their B team out there and beat the those tough son of a guys
Celtics
out there.
Celtics are, you know, it's funny because the Celtics and Lakers always, you know, you talk about one, you talk about the other automatically. NBA history, right? They are both frauds. Both of them are frauds.
But what
they're
what,
just they're
what
just
are they frauds.
They're like? Just they're not.
You're not that guy, Pelt.
They're just not mentally tough.
Right.
They're just
thank
not
you. That's what I was
mentally
getting
tough enough. Neither one
they're
of them.
They're certainly talented enough.
Oh, they're obscenely talented, but they are just pillow soft, mentally weak.
Which to me is awesome.
Yeah. Oh no.
But Celtics. We're not meeting the Celtics in the finals anyway.
Soft. I don't know who's going to come out of the East.
The Knicks?
Maybe.
The Knicks are, like, give me the tough, who's the toughest team in the East? It's not the Celtics.
I don't know right now. Honestly, I don't know. Well, put it this way. If the Nuggets get out of the West, that's when the heavy lifting will be done.
Yes.
I think whoever comes out of the East, it'll be a breeze. Seriously, a breeze.
Mentally softer team. Lakers, Celtics, Sixers.
Celtics. Because out of the three, they're the most talented of all three. Easily. And they are just weak. Weak. God, they're so weak.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, NHL playoffs. It was everybody's worst fear. That Vegas was just cruising through the season, stashing guys on long-term injured reserve, and then once the playoffs come along, there'll be a wagon. And they already went out and were 2-0 on Dallas.
2-0 on Dallas. Yeah.
Poor Dallas.
And Dallas is the
poor
one
Dallas.
That...
Poor Dallas.
They
you know
didn't
what?
They have more points than anybody else?
Exactly. Dallas. Well, yeah. I'm like Rogue. I'm feeling some empathy for Dallas this morning. Poor Dallas. Because you
huff,
you puff, you work hard, you grind, you get all these points, and then Vegas just sits back and goes, all right, time to play.
Well, the history, right? The history of that is the team that wins, what is they call it, the President's Cup, that wins it by the points?
Well,
did they win that?
They did not win that.
Oh, okay. Because we always talk about not the team with the most points never seems to win the cup.
The team with the most points this year was the Rangers with 114. Dallas was second with 113. They're already down
2-0.
Going back to Vegas. Hey, thanks for playing. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30.